is May 12th, 2021. And this is episode number 546. Still not a palindrome. It's so ridiculous. Of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, TikTok master influencer. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, you can shoot me a note over at macobserver.com/contextmachine, which will take you to our Facebook group, directly to it, as a matter of fact. And I am joined today, if you can't already guess who my guest is, based on me not being able to not laugh, it's Jeff Gamet. Jeff.
Oh, that's me. And Brian, as always, I'm happy to bail your butt out and fill in. I'm always happy to be here.
I, you know, none of my friends could make it, so thank you.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
I hear
my mom calling. I've got to go.
Throwing that right back in your face, sir. Earlier, listen, folks. Earlier, I told him, "Hey, man, if you ever need me on your where can we find you? What are you doing these days?"
Well, you can find some videos that I've started doing
on the YouTubes,
youtube.com/jgamet.
Nice. Solid. That is fantastic. Yeah. So you can do that and you should do that. And I said to him, "Hey, Jeff, you know, if you ever need me, I'm not saying I need you on your show. I'm just letting you know, man, I owe you. So if you need me as a guest, just holler and I'm happy to do it." He said, "Yeah, well, someday I'll run through all my friends." It's like, all right.
And you misinterpreted what I said. That's on you.
It was all the better a burn because you didn't even realize how much you were burning me.
Well,
I've got fifth degree burns all over my body from that.
Well, I've got some salve for you.
Sorry. I need some salve.
Yeah, you need some salve.
Speaking of salve, Jeff.
Yes, Brian.
Today, this show happens to be sponsored by LinkedIn Jobs. I'm going to tell you later in this very, very show how you can get your first job post for free. It's going to come in a bit, though. And we have sort of like, I guess, like there's a theme here because the whole show is going to be about the future.
Great. I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be
future.
Going to be interesting. Right. Okay. So last time we were here, I'd say last week, but LOL. Last time we recorded, you and I
talked. Some things never change.
You and I talked about friction points for like HomeKit. In particular, I was whining about some of my own friction points and talking to remind you. It is currently a hassle to replace a smart bulb because you not only have to install the bulb, which is not a hassle usually, but then you can't just like stick that bulb and have it take the place of a bulb that already existed in the home app.
Is why I have bulbs that have the same name, except some of them have old attached to them.
Right. Yeah. Then, and if you have them in any scenes, you've got to adjust all that. Any kind of automation, you've got to adjust all that. You've got to add them to your Ruby. I'm not saying this is like a first world complaint, right? I'm not saying that it's like, I have to do all this work for my smart home. I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying it is not as smooth as it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a subset of people that will take the plunge to do a smart home. And I think that there is a not small subset of those people who will get annoyed once they actually have to start replacing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
I'm with you.
Here's what I thought we would do.
Okay.
I thought that we would talk about. I don't know where we're going to be talking, but I thought that we could talk about the future of smart homes and like where it's going to go, because these are certainly early days.
And no kidding.
What we look at as really cool now, as with everything in technology, is going to be a, you know, LOL quaint in the past, in the, at some point in the future. So what are the things, what are the features, the usability that is going to make today's smart home look quaint? Go.
Okay. So since we decided that this is going to be a topic, I've actually been thinking about it over the last 2 minutes. And I realized what the smart home ideal is, but hopefully without the same outcome. And it's HAL from 2001: A Space Odyssey, the supercomputer that's on the Jupiter spacecraft.
I don't think I like that, Jeff.
Yeah, well, see, that's why I had to put the caveat without the
okay,
ultimate outcome.
But how? Like in what way? Like how is Siri HAL going to be doing things? Or I mean, you know, I guess it could be Alexa.
Well, look at what HAL does before he goes rogue, which, by the way, was the fault of his programmers putting in that extra code where he had to keep a critical part. Oh, wait, spoilers. Is it okay at this point, considering the movie is decades old, if I do a spoiler?
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Okay, so, you know, there's the rogue code, there's the hidden code in HAL that makes him go rogue because it goes against what his core programming is. And so then he turns on the crew, and we end up with everyone dead except for Dave Bowman, who becomes the Star Child.
Okay, most of us can agree that we don't want that particular outcome.
Right. Okay. So everything leading up to when HAL goes rogue, that's what a smart home should be or could be. So if you look at all the things that happen on the spaceship, it's all this stuff that's happening without the crew having to do anything. It's just simply anticipated. The lights are on where they need to be. And not
just from motion sensors.
Right.
Because there's decision-making that says, this person's going to need a light.
Right. Yeah. It's anticipating their needs. And it goes beyond just automating lights going on or changing the thermostat and things like that. It's the smart home knows what news the crew is interested in. So they're compiling the information that they're reading as they're eating dinner, and their dinner is being prepared for them by their smart home, their spacecraft. And when it's time to relax, the whole computer system anticipates what the relaxation needs are going to be. And it becomes this full service thing that goes beyond the very simple automations that we're dealing with today.
That is a lot closer to Google's approach than it is Apple's approach.
Yeah, there's some irony there.
Well, I mean, is it irony? I don't know that it's irony. The question is, like, if that is the future, can Apple actually go to that future?
Well, I think they can.
And I think they can. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Are they? And if they are, then they're playing this as a much longer game than Google is. And
Alexa. Alexa's playing the short. Amazon's playing the short game with Amazon. Google is playing the medium and long game. And Apple seems to be playing the long game.
Yeah, and as I think about this, I think that long game may be even longer than we've been realizing, which ties into stuff that we'll probably be talking about later in the show. But if Apple can do this right with their now presumed long game that we have concocted for them, then they have a good chance of creating this ambient home with ubiquitous intelligence that's handling all of these things for us, where it really is transparent. We don't have to stop and think about it. We don't have to deal with setting something up, you know, like even down to the point where the smart home, when it has some component that is failing somewhere or needs some sort of upgrade, the home can let us know.
Well, and should also be able to take care of integrating a replacement or new device into that home.
Right.
And even figuring out that because you put the light bulb on the porch, that probably means that you want it to do the porch automation that happens when you come home and leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when that bulb for the porch is going to fail, your smart home anticipates it. And now Siri says, Brian, the porch light, it is failing. You may have noticed it flickering occasionally, which is not something that this bulb should do. And it's failing prematurely. I believe that I have discovered an electrical wiring flaw leading to that outlet. Would you like me to schedule the electrician to come out and check that? And I can order the replacement bulb for you now.
There's a lot of yakety yak there that I don't need.
Yeah, well, because it's Apple, they would be able to present that to you in a much more concise way.
Yeah,
I'm just the concept guy.
Yeah, fair enough. And the machine learning / artificial intelligence needs to be able to anticipate needs and outcomes based in part on your own doings and comings and goings, and also, you know, from the sort of collective groupthink that is the entire ecosystem, and be able to automatically add new devices or handle upgrades to existing devices. And then, you know, include that in automation, and then in as Jeff mentioned, include you know, all sorts of various monitoring things for when you for when those devices may need servicing or replacement, and do all of this without us having to do much and figure out like when things need to be turned on. So here's the thing. I love having HomeKit lights for when I go to bed. Mm-hmm. I like being able to say, hey, S lady, I'm going to bed. That's the name. I have a scene named I'm going to bed because mm-hmm. that's what I had to do to pretend like Siri can actually understand me. And then
mine is good night.
Fair enough. And there's probably all sorts of iterations like that. And then that's mm-hmm. going to turn off my porch lights if they're on. It's going to turn off my living room lights if they're on. It's going to turn off my kitchen lights if they're on. And it's going to turn off my bedroom lights if they're on. No, I'm going to bed actually turns on my bedroom lights and turns everything else off. Mm-hmm. If I tell the S lady that I'm leaving, again, she turns on various porch lights for me and turns off everything else for me. And then just in case, though, when I actually leave my network, she also has various things she's supposed to do when I leave my network and then when I come back onto my network. And those things are all nifty. But here's the thing. Walking into my bedroom when I just need the lights on takes too long to do it through S lighting.
I think I figured out how to distill what needs to happen into far fewer words than we've been using so far.
And
currently, our smart home technology is all reactive.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's
to evolve to become proactive.
Proactive and smart. And ironically, Apple's Google Now competitor is called Proactive, but doesn't really.
But it is not.
It is not. It is not. Yeah. And the automation also does need to be faster. Speaking to the point that I'm speaking about now, it would be fantastic if HomeKit and the S Lady were figuring out which lights I need based on where I'm going. That would, in fact, be nifty. But it would also be nifty if all these devices activated faster. Now, it could be because I've got older devices. My light bulbs are 3 years old now. So maybe current.
But they're Hue bulbs, right?
No, they're Sylvania's former yep. HomeKit only product line.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if the age is having any impact on that. What I have noticed, though, with my Hue bulbs is that some of my automatic triggers or some of my my voice command scenes take longer to activate than they ought to, but not consistently. And I don't know if that's an issue with HomeKit or if that's an issue with Hue and the Hue Bridge. But so the problem you're experiencing, it's not just Hue.
Right. It is. I'm sure it's not just me. And but mind you, it is worth. I currently consider it worth the admitted hassle. And the reason why I say that is, first of all, I love the automation from coming and going. I love being able to control things with my voice. I also love being able to control multiple devices with one command. These things are fantastic. And I love being able to handle all the lights from my bed if that's what I want to do. And these things are sorry about that. These things are all great. Sorry, buddy. Ichabod was not impressed with what just happened.
Office managers can be like that.
Yes. So, anyway, I lost my train of thought. But I like all of those things, but they do, in general, need to be faster. It all needs to be faster. And I think that is super important. And another thing that is super important is, of course, protecting our privacy. And Apple is well ahead of the game there, even though I think that's one of the things that slows Apple down. I think back to Tim Cook saying that he doesn't think that the news app needs to know what music we're listening to. And I talk about this all the time. I've used this example many times, and I think that Tim Cook was precisely wrong. He has not said this since, and I'm hoping that means because he realized he was wrong. But the news app precisely needs to know what music I listen to. Precisely needs to know what music I listen to. So that it can present me news pertaining to the bands that I like to listen to. And even perhaps present me news about bands that I don't even know that I like or would like. But at the very least, let me know about bands that are coming to town once quarantine times are over. At the very least. So having HomeKit and having Siri be able to handle these things faster and also be more proactive, more thoughtful about what they're doing is an absolute must for the future evolution of smart home technology.
Yep, I agree completely. Okay, now here's the thing that could be off-putting for some people. To have smart home technology that is as proactive and intelligent as we are envisioning right now means that our technology is going to have to be monitoring a lot more of what's happening in our homes.
Right. And as long as it's being handled locally and not being stored and processed by servers, I'm all for it. All for it.
Yes. Yeah. The notion that Google could be monitoring every single thing that I'm doing at home is really, really creepy.
Yeah.
The notion that Apple would be doing that is mildly creepy, but I would be willing to accept it because they are so pro-privacy.
Currently. I like to mention that because who knows what happens when Tim Cook's successor takes over or when that person's successor takes over.
That's true. At any point, there could be a philosophy change in the company where they decide that there's a lot of value in selling our personal information.
Yeah. Yeah. The board could find the CEO that would do that.
And that would... that would be a big problem for me.
Yeah, same. I'm sorry. I'm picking up mice. I'm picking up things that fell.
Well, so,
forgive me.
That's your job. I mean, Ichabod, as the office manager, has certain expectations of you. And Kat has certain expectations of me as my office manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, her expectation right now is that I do not disturb her so that she can nap while we record.
Ichabod's expectation to me is that I not throw things on him while I'm recording. He was sad to find out that those expectations were too high.
Yeah, this is going to reflect in your next evaluation.
And it as well it should.
Well, you know, yeah.
Right. So, and I think that, like, you know, we're talking about this being in the future. I think that this is like near term future stuff. I mean, like, I don't think,
really?
Yeah, well, at the very least, it's not a long term vision. I mean, I think that that's still rudimentary stuff. I think everything that we see in the smart home today, like we didn't talk about the thing that will disrupt smart homes right now. We just talked about iterative improvements, maybe a few generations of iteration, but we did not talk about the leapfrog thing because we're not being that visionary right now.
I think it's going to take a lot of, visionary prowess to get us to a point where we have proactive technology for smart homes. So I think it's going to take longer than you think for this to become a reality. Another way to say it, I think I'm more pessimistic about the progress in smart home technology than you are.
No, I see. I don't actually know that we disagree here. I'm not saying that the things that we're talking about are going to come tomorrow. I'm just saying that those are the next baby steps. There's going to be something bigger, and there should be something bigger. I mean, like for instance, waste heat from computers. Although we're getting less and less waste heat all the time, especially with Apple's processors. Waste heat on computers being funneled to maybe help heat the water. I don't know. And having some kind of machine learning / artificial intelligence managing that. Then there's, and we'll hopefully get to this more later, but then there's, you know, managing our cars. There is even like managing the electricity used throughout the house. In what one of Apple's benefits is controlling so many of the components in iPhone. They can make stuff like turn off and on in fractions of a second to save power. Mm-hmm. Right? We've talked about that. It's been years, but we've talked about that. Well,
yeah, good times.
What about having our homes doing the same thing? Like, for instance, intelligently managing the electricity consumption in our refrigerators to keep it precisely at a temperature, you know, but you know, in ways that are far more efficient than what we're used to now.
Or I would love that.
Or managing airflow through our homes based on the time of day and the weather conditions. Like, you know, that would include the home being built differently, or at the very least having additional equipment in the home. But there are like, you know, fraction of a second by fraction of a second decisions like that that can be made by machine learning that are far more efficient than anything that we think of now. That's like medium term future, maybe far future kinds of things.
You know, a place where Apple could start doing that in the very near future would be with our laptop and iPhone and iPad chargers. Mm. Because the chargers, even if they're not connected to a device, are drawing power when they're plugged in. So Apple could change the way their chargers work so that they more intelligently draw electricity. So if they detect that there's not a device plugged in, their draw goes down to almost zero.
Yeah, but you have to be powering it to know that a device is going to be plugged in.
Right.
Or has been
plugged in. But you could do that with little microchecks.
You could do that with magnets.
And
you could do that with magnetism.
Magnets? How do they work?
A magnetic field being interrupted doesn't necessarily require power like other kinds of sensors, electronic sensors do. I think. I guess you'd have to have a sensor on the magnetic field, too. I'm not really sure that would work.
Well, if you're doing it, I mean, now that we're just designing this here, if you do it the way magnetic paper works, it's, you know, where you can take that little sheet and you set it on something and you see the outlines of the magnets. What it's doing is it's taking nickel filings and it's either laying them flat or standing them on end. So that, you know, it changes the polarity, and you could do the same thing. If it's standing on end, well, they're not touching potentially, and so no charge connection. When they lay flat, now they're touching, and now you have a charge connection. There, I just solved this problem. You're welcome, Apple.
Yay! Let's also take having a smart home managing a vacuum, like a robot vacuum.
Yeah, much more efficiently than the way my home is managing that now.
And handling, which is how?
I can have very, very coarse control over that. I either set a schedule, and it just has to follow a set schedule all the time, or I have to manually turn it on and either let it clean my whole place or select a specific area that it's going to clean.
Okay, now imagine this, right? And that's the same here, obviously. That's the state mm-hmm. of the art right now. So imagine mm-hmm. HomeKit/Siri knowing which room your dog or cat has spent the most time in. Mm-hmm. And so is going to give that area, is going to have the vacuum give that area more attention when it knows you're going to be gone out of the house. Right,
yep,
so all the vacuuming is being done while you're out of the house, but you're not having to think about it. And the same with not really the same, but like, you know, at some point we're going to have automatic. There are already window cleaner robots, right?
Yes,
at some point
we have both seen them at CES.
Yes, and at some point that sort of technology is going to be cheap enough to be near ubiquitous, if not ubiquitous, at least in the first world. So that mm-hmm. our windows are going to be constantly kept clean, or maybe our, you know, neighborhood will collectively invest in some that are able to move from house to house and clean the houses when we're not at home. For mm-hmm. instance, that one may be a bit silly, but I mean, that certainly seems certainly seems doable. The same thing with you know, vacuuming the cobwebs out of your the corners of your ceiling, for instance. You know, a robot could be handling that, and again, Siri slash HomeKit could be doing the detection and deciding of when and where that's going to happen. These are things that are, that future smart homes should handle for us. And then, of course, there is all of the you know, stuff where we're almost there about ordering groceries, detecting when groceries have gone bad, need to be thrown out, need to be replaced, need to be reordered, need to be replenished. Those are things that that I would rather have Siri slash HomeKit doing than the a refrigerator making the decision.
And that's not beyond the realm of near-term possibility. I mean, my Echo will let me know when it's time for me to buy something again. And it's pretty good at knowing, because it knows when how often I buy specific things from Whole Foods or or off Amazon. So when I'm low on something, my Echo is pretty good at letting me know. And when I go and check the pantry, the cupboard, whatever, sure enough, it's time for me to reorder that thing. Now, of course, that involves Amazon knowing basically everything about my shopping. So it would be nice for Siri to be able to do that. And then I'd feel like my personal information is much more secure.
Okay. Someone emails you and says, hey, you want to have dinner on Thursday? And I say yes, or through text message or a phone call. Siri slash HomeKit should be listening and ask if I need to order extra supplies of some sort. Do you want to get drinks? Do you want to have some wine? Do you want to have, you know, I you know, your girlfriend's coming over, your buddy's coming over. Do you want beers, et cetera? And again, as long as that listening and decision making and data storage is happening locally, I am all for that. Utterly and completely all for that, as long as it's local and as long as it's secure.
I'm with you. And the scenario you just presented, there is more than one person listening right now that in the back of their mind, or maybe out loud, went, oh my God, that's Knowledge Navigator. And you're right. That's part of the vision that Knowledge Navigator had, you know, where the technology could anticipate our needs.
John Sculley, once and future CEO of Apple Incorporated. Just kidding.
Yeah. Well, his vision and the people, well, the people that created the vision and he bought into it at Apple, I mean, they nailed what we should be able to do with this technology, at least in part. So, yeah, I would love that. That's all part of what our smart home should be.
Yes. Yes, it is. How about this? So, obviously, home surveillance is progressing at a bliss clip. I don't even know what a bliss clip. A brisk clip.
Nope. We are inventing a new word right now.
No, I think that has something to do with genital mutilation, and we're not doing a brisk clip.
I knew that's right where you're heading with that as soon as I said that. And so maybe we don't need to invent this new word.
A brisk clip.
Yes.
So, but imagine HomeKit slash Siri doing the monitoring for us. For instance, noting that the person is just walking down the sidewalk and is minding their own business. Right? I don't need to be alerted about that. Now, someone has come into my front little patio area. Maybe I need to be alerted. Oh, but it's the postman. Post person, even. I don't need to be alerted about the post person coming. Unless, of course, I'm waiting for a particular bit of mail, but whatever. And then when the mail gets put in here, Siri slash HomeKit could sort my mail for me. And maybe, take care of paying my bills for me. Like, you know, banks want to handle that right now. I'd much rather Siri and HomeKit handle that. all day long.
Yeah. And well, and if you're getting those bills electronically, then it's even easier for Siri to take care of them.
Yeah.
Because Siri would have access to your email.
Yeah. Or having Siri / HomeKit identifying the varmint that's wrecking your plants. And yes. And noting when that varmint is coming around for you and telling you, you know, that there's a possum that's getting into your succulents at 2 a.m. every day.
That's not code, people. That's really what he means.
So, I mean, like, you know, there's a lot of intelligent decision making and analysis that could be taking place with home surveillance systems that, again, I would trust. I would much rather have my house taking care of it than having the surveillance, the camera company taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, for one thing, I don't believe that a surveillance company, unless that surveillance company is owned by Amazon or owned by, which, you know, LOL, turns out they do, or owned by Google, LOL, turns out they do, or owned by Apple, which they do not. Most surveillance companies are not going to, the camera companies are not going to be able to come up with the kind of holistic decision-making and analysis that a company like Apple or Google or Amazon could, relating to Siri / Google Home / Alexa. Yeah. Now we're talking really useful stuff where the AI is really doing a job for us. And that's where I want to see these things go. Now, Jeff.
Brian.
Imagine that you are the CEO of a small or medium-sized smart home company.
Okay, I'm imagining it right now.
And you're wanting to hire some engineers, where do you go? That's right, Jeff, you go to LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs is sponsoring this week's episode of the Apple Context Machine. I very much appreciate it. Now, here's the thing. You can get started by posting your job for free to reach LinkedIn's network of 740 million professionals. They give you the tools to organize your job postings. They put your job postings in front of the right people. They make it very, very easy to manage your job postings and to manage the people who are interested in your job postings and to manage that whole application process. They use simple tools to filter and prioritize the top candidates you'd like to interview. They make all of this very clean. They make all this very simple. And the beautiful, beautiful thing is that you can get your first job posting for free. All you have to do is go to linkedin.com/ACM. Again, that's linkedin.com/ACM. And you can post your first job for free. Of course, terms and conditions apply. That is very important. If you need to hire somebody, LinkedIn Jobs is definitely one of the best ways out there to do it, and I strongly recommend it. And I'm very, very happy that they are sponsoring this episode of the Apple Context Machine. Okay, so Jeff,
Brian,
you, we have spent of the three topics for our hour-long show. We have spent so far. Where is that? We have spent 38 minutes of our 60-minute show talking about one of them.
This checks out. Yeah.
This does check out. The next thing, though, you were talking about AirTags before the show.
I
just asked you to stop so that we could talk about it on the show. So I have no idea what you're going to tell me.
You didn't want to hear my voice anymore.
No, I want to hear more.
Yeah, well, you know. All right, so AirTag, which, and this, I think, ultimately ties in to the discussion we just had. And as I've been playing with the AirTag that I have, there's been a glaring omission in what you can do with it from my perspective, which is it doesn't automate anything. It serves currently a single purpose, which is to find something. And I think that what Apple has released to us right now is just the entry point into giving us new ways to automate what we can do. And that would include doing things in our smart homes.
So you don't think the AirTags are just to put Tile out of business? I mean, they may be designed to do that too, but you don't think that's like they just decided they want Tile's business at the end?
No, and actually, I'll give you some logic behind my decision.
Please,
or my belief here. Okay, first, Find My predates Tile.
Okay. Yes.
And then Apple, they've had their beacon technology that they've used in stores for a very long time.
Years and 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 years.
Right. So I think AirTag has been a long game for Apple, and that it may not have had the name AirTag back then, however many years ago that Find My became a thing, but it was part of the plan. Apple, they make long-term plans.
Right.
And Tile came up. I think it was just a natural evolution of technologies. And so Tile became a thing, and good for them. And Apple's been building up this whole system by slowly rolling out different technologies, and now we have AirTag as part of that. One place where Tile has a leg up on AirTag is that it supports shortcuts. So you can actually create automations that involve your Tile.
Okay.
Why can't we do that with AirTag?
It seems like you should be able to. Actually, I thought the AirTag did work with shortcuts.
If it does, I have not been able to find a way to make it happen yet, and I don't think I'm the only one. I'm pretty sure shortcuts and AirTag are currently not intertwined.
You may be right. I was
man,
doesn't seem to be yet.
Okay, doesn't that really feel like a huge glaring omission? I mean, you even thought that it was already a thing. That's how natural of a fit this is.
Yeah, well, I thought that using Siri shortcut. Now, hold on, how to use AirTags. Here's something that Andrew wrote is why I thought that we could do it. So I'm looking for, you're hearing sausage being made. Want to discover more? No, I lied. Yeah, I don't think you can yet. But it is surely less an omission and more a hasn't been added yet.
Exactly. Yes. So it currently feels like an omission, but it is part of the road plan, which tells me that the current Mentos AirTag that we have is not the only form factor down the road. And now that you have the Mentos image in your head, you'll never be able to get rid of it. I blame Ken Ray.
Yeah, fair enough. I blame a lot of things on Ken.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he's a nice guy, so I selectively blame.
Okay, yeah, this is fair.
Yeah, so anyhow, imagine something that uses beacon technology, AirTag technology, you know, something in there where you can set up a grid, in essence, in your home to help with tracking where you are and what you're doing. And that gets us a lot closer to a proactive smart home. And I think
you shouldn't need to set up the grid. I feel like we already have, like, Siri should make its own grid without your help.
How is it going to do that?
Wi-Fi.
Okay, so now you are requiring me to either have a phone, iPad, or Apple Watch with me all the time. And I didn't include the Mac in that because I'm visualizing you need a mobile device.
But there is no way that we're walking through all of these radio waves without affecting them. So at some point, it seems like the sort of detection should be done. I mean, we're already doing triangulation, but that's device oriented, to your point.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I totally get what you're saying, and
there's the whole thing, like, you know, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. That's from Arthur C. Clarke. I think that's a pretty close word for word quote.
Well, an AirTag is kind of that already for only $29.
Well, and what I just described is certainly that. But yeah, it seems like it can be done.
We have to get there, and it's not, I think, something that's going to be just, we currently have all this Wi-Fi technology and Bluetooth technology. Let's figure out how to bounce the waves off of everyone, and then that's it. Or maybe that's where putting the sensors in your home play into that. But then eventually the technology evolves and you don't have to do that. Or that's just built into homes, so you don't have to do that. But, we've got to get there. And but then what about triggering different automations when you're not at home? Well, AirTag should be able to do that as well.
Yeah. Or should at the very least should eventually be able to do it.
Right.
It might be AirTag 2 or AirTag 3.
Right. But I bet there's a lot of people that are coming up with all of these things that they would love to be able to do with their AirTag if only it had shortcuts integration.
Yeah.
I think it's coming.
Yeah, it needs to, I would say, and I imagine that it will. It may not be this year. It may not be, right? It may not be with whatever is introduced at WWDC in a few weeks. But I bet it comes in the next 2 years.
You know, I think I can accept that. Yeah, within the next couple of years, we're going to see something that plays right into that.
Yeah. And of course, AirTag should get smaller and thinner, too.
Yeah, they're limited, really, by the size of the battery. So if they can figure out how to use a smaller battery with the same efficiency and lifespan, then the battery gets smaller. And they'll also have to figure out how they can keep the sound as loud as it is. Because right now, AirTag, do you know how it's making sound? I'm going to pretend like you don't.
I actually do not. So you don't even have to pretend. You can live it.
Okay. Well, I am living it. It is good. Okay. So the AirTag circuit board has a hole in the middle. So it's basically a donut shape. There's a magnet. It's just a straight up magnet sitting in that hole in the center. It has a little copper coil on the circuit board running around it. So that turns the white part, the Mentos part, into the speaker. The magnet vibrates the body, and generates the sound. There's not a physical speaker in the AirTag. How cool is that?
It's pretty darn cool.
It's very cool.
And one of those things, like, if anyone else had done it, there would have been, like, all these announcements about how someone invented this.
Oh, yeah, there would have been a whole video and PowerPoint slides.
One of those little things that Apple invents and then doesn't actually talk about. It just makes it a competitive advantage.
It's just very cool. All right, so we have a U1 chip there. We have a U1 chip in iPhone 11 and higher. We have a U1 chip in Apple Watch. So imagine the sensors, because we're still at the baby step phase for this, sensors positioned around your house. Now your home kit setup knows where you are at any given time, and it knows precisely where you are. Yeah, and that's assuming that you're wearing your Apple Watch or you have your iPhone with you. And now you can trigger actions based on exactly where you are in your home. So you could even take it to the point of when I go sit on the couch on the left side, turn on my television and my Apple TV, mm-hmm. which I know is a potentially completely frivolous use. But, you know, the point is you can do precision location tracking in your own home and make things happen simply because of where you are.
Yeah.
And of course you can throw in things like time of day, time of year, whatever. But to me, that goes a long way to getting us to the dream of a proactive smart home.
All right. I like it. I do. I don't care what anybody says, Jeff.
Yeah, well, that's what I love about you, man.
Well, I hope that we are heading towards either, you know, some of the things that we're talking about in the show or things that are much better and just, you know, make our ideas look ridiculous. That would be, I would love to be made to look like, you know, someone with no ideas by smart home mm-hmm. stuff. I want to operate. You mentioned how I want to be able to operate with, you know, the Enterprise's computer, you know, TNG or later, mm-hmm. right? I want my home to do things for me. I want to speak to the air. I want my home making decisions for me, decisions that I don't need to make. And I'm not saying that I want my home to be. I'm not talking about a Wall-E future here, right? I'm talking about a future where our homes are truly being proactive and truly taking care of the things that we don't want to hassle with to leave us more time to, you know, watch Wall-E or something.
Yeah, so you're saying you're not on board with the whole big and large corporate plan.
Correct. I am not. And
isn't that what it was called? Big and large?
I honestly forget.
I can't remember.
Here's another thing, by the way. How about having a robot sorting our clothes and washing them, but not washing them until they're needed, so that you can have the greatest efficiency when it comes to washing?
And for that matter,
Siri and HomeKit actively managing the washing process in your clothes. So that water usage and you know, cleanliness can be optimized. I would much rather Siri and HomeKit be doing that than LG or, you know, Samsung or Whirlpool.
Yes, I don't have faith in their ability to protect our personal information.
Yeah, they have no vested interest in it. And they don't have the capabilities that... I really hate mentioning Amazon in this context each time, but it's, you know, but to not do so would be disingenuous. Apple, Amazon, and Google. These companies, and maybe perhaps some other company in the future, have the wherewithal to make these things possible and to be able to actually have them take care of the things that we want them to take care of without. And then again, from my perspective with, you know, because like Google would be using this data to sell access to, you know, to us, to soap sellers. So would Amazon. Right. So I definitely want Apple doing this. I definitely want this staying on my local devices, but I want my smart home to do more and more and more and more and more.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's what I want too. I really want my smart home to be truly smart and not just clever automations.
How about Siri and HomeKit controlling your dishwasher such that only the plates that are actually in there, the plates in or, you know, whatever, are getting any water?
Mm-hmm. Right. Of course, that involves designing a new washing or dishwasher, but of course, that's exactly what would happen. Yeah. I just realized I forgot a really critical part of the whole U1 as a blanket network throughout your home. It's built into HomePod Mini. $99, pop one in each room, and you have something to help with precision location tracking.
No, I like the music coming out of a HomePod more. I'm a little tense with Apple canceling the HomePod. The HomePod Mini should have been augmenting the HomePod, not replacing it. Completely tangential to what you're saying.
I know. I am with you. I really do like the sound that comes from a HomePod. I think I am typical in this. I have only one, but I've already picked up two HomePod Minis. They're practically an impulse buy at $99.
Yeah, they are. For some people, obviously there are folks who, for whom $99 is, you know, a lot of money. Not
well, to me, $20 is a lot of money, and yet here I am.
Ichabod completely agrees.
Yeah, I mean, well, Ichabod, he's pretty smart.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Ichabod, he's pretty opinionated.
that is a truth we can all get behind. All right, Jeff, on that note, I want to actually, let me do this first. Let me do this. And that is this week's Apple Context Machine. I don't have anything in front of me because I've never done this before. If you have anything to add, comment on, question, whatever, you can write me at acm at macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And of course, thanks to LinkedIn Jobs for sponsoring this week's episode of the Apple Context Machine. You can get your first job post for free. All you have to do is go to linkedin.com/ACM. Again, that's linkedin.com/ACM to post your first job for free, and terms and conditions apply. And I want to thank you very much for coming on this week. It was a good discussion. I enjoyed this.
Brian, I have fun every single time you invite me on. So I enjoyed it too. And thank you. It's great to get to hang out with you.
I wish that was the case for me. But this time I did have fun.
Well, you know,
I'm still bitter about you not contacting me until you get through your friends. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well,
that's all I'm saying.
At least I'm going to contact you. What more do you want? I mean, seriously.
play you off stage.